You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me.
When the road today we start off this series called You Got a Friend in Me. And we start this out because friendship is different these days. There's different obstacles that are in friendships that didn't exist when we were kids, that didn't exist when it was easy to make friends, of just like, okay, you pick your nose, I pick my nose too, let's be friends, right? Or you wear this jersey, I wear that jersey too, or you're left-handed, I'm left-handed, you wear glasses, like that's how like elementary school friendship works. Like my kid's first day, they have a new best friend, and the second day they have another new best friend, and the third day, like they've always got new best friends no matter what they've got going on. But when you're older, friendship hits a little bit different, right? The people you went to school with are no longer around. Sometimes you're transplants to a new community, like many of us, even in here, have moved to Lafayette, and then making friends is weird because you work with people that you like or don't like, right? You sometimes go to church with people, and sometimes it's hard to get to know there if you're not in a connect group. And so friends are different. And now with the introduction of social media, right? That has really complicated things, right? You can have more friends, right, than ever before, right? Than ever. None of you had 2,000 people that you actually knew before, but many times we have thousands of people that hundreds even, and hundreds sometimes of thousands that are our friends online. You can have followers, you can have group chats that just blow up your phone like crazy all the time, whether you like it or not. You can have likes, you can have comments, you can have streaks, you can have badges. It's such a weird world that we live in, yet loneliness is still at an all-time high. It has only increased as there's been more people in population, as there's been more ways to connect. Loneliness can be at an all-time high. And so as we jump into this series, I'm wondering if we can face that. If we can face the fact that how can we be so connected but still feel alone? Well, I throw out this thought that digital proximity is not the same as relational depth, right? And that's what we're going to discover today as we begin to unpack this series called You've Got a Friend in Me, because the friends you choose, but also the friend that you choose to be, determine the stories that you'll be able to tell. And so, I want to ask you something honestly today. Who has your ear, right? Who has your ear the most right now? Like, if you really think of what's going in, is it a person? Is it a spouse? Is it a social media? Is it a news channel? Is it a amount of notifications? Like, who gets your ear the most? Who influences your decision? Because Proverbs begins to talk about this in Proverbs 13:20. It says, walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. I like to look at that, and if I were to put that in the context of what we're talking about, it would kind of sound like your friends really are the ones who help shape your future. Right, that you're not just influenced by your environment, that you're influenced by the circle that you surround yourself with. The people that are closest to you are really not neutral people. They have a way of shaping you. And I want to ask this question: are they shaping you forward, or are they pulling you backwards? Are they pushing you forward? Are they challenging you to move forward? Or is it a challenge when you're around them to not go backwards? But I get it. If I were to ask us all, and I will towards the end of the service here today, to actually make a list of your five closest friends, that may be a struggle to actually list out five names of not just friends on Facebook, but that people you know, people that you talk to. Like if you were to leave your spouse and your kids and your mother-in-law and your father-in-law, your parents off of that list, what does that actually look like? Because I believe there is that option, right? Right? When we go down to write our friends, that the answer might be that there's no one. That there's no one that I actually, nobody in my circle. There's nobody around me. There's no mentor. There's no deep friendships. There's no spiritual voices even speaking in. Just independent, self-guided living, right? And for many, that sounds strong until you realize that if no one's shaping you, that something's shaping you unintentionally. Because nobody lives a life uninfluenced. It's not godly friends, it's algorithms, right? You got YouTube that's controlling what's going in you. It's podcasts, it's trending opinions, it's whatever content you're consuming the most. And many times, that's what we choose because that's the easiest, because that's what we can control. That's what we like. That's what we prefer. We can choose when it comes in. We can choose when it doesn't come in. Recent studies show that the average person spends 2 hours, and I would say that's low, on social media. That's about 700 hours a year. 700 hours. That's the equivalent of 17 full work weeks. And so I know there's probably some of us saying that, well, no one influences me. Nobody's in my circle, but someone is. Something is. Because if isolation doesn't remove influence, it removes accountability, right? And that's why I put the picture of Sid there, right? Sid's the guy that had no friends. He had nobody saying, hey, dude, why are you chopping up those toys? That's a little demented there. Like, can we have a discussion? Like, why Barbie's head's on a spider? What do you really think of women, right? Ooh, right? No one's having that conversation with Sid, but can we all say that conversation needs to be had with Sid? Somebody needs to challenge Sid on those action, because Sid the psychopath, like, it begins to like flow off the tongue really easily. And that can very easily be one of us. Because when no one has access to challenge you, to correct you, to encourage you, to sharpen you, I mean, the fact is, for some of you, I'm just up here as a motivational speaker. Really, I'm just a TED Talk, right? Many times. To actually pastor, to shepherd, and say, hey, you're standing in your own poop. You need to move out of that. To say, hey, trust me, we're going this direction, we're following after God, and you're like, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I kind of like this politics thing, Pastor Billy. I'd rather listen to this more than I'd rather listen to you, right? When we talked about, even last year in the Jesus series, when we talked about the refugee, I was like, well, no, I have my own beliefs about that. Not what the Bible says. See, we do go some tough places around here, but I guess I'll keep it on friendship today. Because if you're here thinking that these are my ideas, I don't follow a script, Foursquare doesn't send me, this is what you need to preach on, Pastor Billy. They don't. If they did, I probably wouldn't follow it anyways. There's no liturgy calendar. Like, they can't make this stuff up in that, right? Spend plenty of hours and time fasting and in prayer and saying, God, we both know these people. We both see what they're walking through. Give me your word. Point me to what you want to change in them. Right? Like, really, the last series on revival isn't coming. I was like, what the crap, God? I don't, like, why would I want to talk about revival? That's the God's honest truth. That was my conversation with him. And he says, well, there's people that need revived. But there's also people that need to see what revival truly is. That it's not just a hype service. And for most of the series, I was like, all right, God, I'm just writing this and talking this out just out of obedience. And some of you are very grateful that I did. Christian, not so much because he got soaking wet last week, but but I had no clue. And there's been plenty of times where I have no clue, where it's just simply out of obedience. Because I know the people of Nineveh were finally thankful when Jonah spoke out of obedience. And so I've got to trust God and speak on where he leads. And so as we walk into this one, many times we are only allowing our own voice, right? We're only allowing our voice to shape us. We slowly become our own echo chamber, right? Because our thoughts reinforce our thoughts, right? Our opinions reinforce our opinions. The podcasts that we subscribe to, the news channels that we watch, our blind spots, they stay blind. And Scripture never celebrates isolated strength. What it does, though, it celebrates, maybe you've heard of iron sharpening iron, right? It celebrates the sparks. It celebrates the walk with the wise and become wise. And you can't walk with somebody when you're refusing to be with anybody. Some people think, I don't need a circle. I work alone. I'm best by myself. But independence without accountability often turns into stagnation. And I don't know if you ever like have found like that bowl that's been stagnant for a while, or that hamburger that's been stagnant for a while, or that ice cream that your kid ate at midnight and then hid the bowl under their bed that's been stagnant for a while, that's covered and all separated, and now there's mold growing all over the things, and bacteria has invaded, and this stench that is even stronger than your teenager has taken over the room. Stagnation feels safe. Until you realize you're not growing anymore, but there's things growing on you. There's things eating away at you. So the question is, maybe not just are your friends shaping you forward or backwards, but for some of us, it's have you removed yourself from shaping relationships altogether because you feel safer that way? Because when no one's speaking into your life, no one helps you become better, and growth requires that friction. It requires conversations. It requires presence. And maybe it's not that you need to choose wise friends. You need to allow yourself to be known. Because really, our friends shape our future, right? You've heard maybe the phrase, I know I've said it plenty of times, that you're the average of those that are the closest, the five friends that are the closest to you. And who is those? Who are those people? Who is those, right? Can they do English, right? Do they challenge you spiritually? Do they encourage you to grow? Do they speak truth into your life, or do they normalize compromise? Because when you surround yourself with people who gossip, guess what? You'll be the one that's gossiping too. If you surround yourself with people who are overweight, then you'll be overweight too. If you surround yourself with people who are drifting spiritually, you never drift towards where you're wanting to go, but you begin to drift away. If you surround yourself with people who pursue Jesus, see, there's good and bad. And the fact is that our future isn't random, that it's relational. But it's not just about choosing the right friends. Because many times we can choose the right friends, but then sometimes we have a hard time being that right friend. Right? We have to be or become that right friend, because some of us want wise friends while we're the ones being the foolish ones, right? Right? You know that designated driver. Some of you are that designated driver, right? And you surround yourself with those people. We want loyal friends. We want loyal friends while we're being inconsistent ones. We want encouraging friends while we're the ones being the critical ones. What would happen if we want better friends, if we were to be better friends? It's like we reap what we sow. And so our friends shape our future, but what is this true friend? Proverbs addresses that when it says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Notice it doesn't say a friend likes your post at all times, right? Well, you didn't like my post. You didn't like my picture. You didn't like my saying that I came up with all the time, right? It doesn't say a friend comments fire emojis on everything that you post, right? It says a friend loves at all times. Isn't that one true? Like really, when you can find out your true friendships, when you're going through something, when there's adversity, when you're sick, when you're grieving, when you've messed up, when you're just not that impressive. See, a real friend doesn't disappear just because it's inconvenient. We all know that life gets inconvenient. But if we're not only looking for real friends, but also wanting to be a real friend, when life gets inconvenient, you lean in, not lean away. You check in, not check out. Friendship of mine jumped a few levels a few months ago. A friend called me. He was broken down with his family 3 hours away. He called 10 plus people that were a lot closer in his circle, even his own family. They were broken down. And he finally got to me on the list. He was like, yeah, I know you're busy and I really didn't want to bother you. Didn't want to call you. I said, where do you need me to be? Looked up a trailer and it was an hour down the road in less than 20 minutes. Well, I was an hour down the road in less than 20 minutes. In less than 20 minutes, got the trailer and got down the road. Just in case there's any cops listening. See, a friend doesn't disappear when things get inconvenient. Adversity is always the test of true friendship. Because everybody can celebrate you when it's time to celebrate, right? Right? Because there's cake, right? Because there's candles, because there's balloons, right? Andy Mineo said, the great theologian, in case you've ever heard of him, right? He says, when's the last time you think about me? He said, probably the last time the drinks were on me. That song will preach. Because everybody can celebrate you, but few will be those friends that are willing to carry you. Think of the friends that carried their friend to Jesus when he needed healing, a paralyzed man. They were willing to dig through a roof. They were willing to carry him on a mat. They were willing to lower him down. Probably nice and soft. They probably just didn't drop him down. Who are those friends? The difference between a casual connection and a covenant friendship is that presence in the midst of pain. So if you imagine two houses, right? Your house and your neighbor's house, right? One looks amazing. It's beautiful all on the outside. It has the perfect landscape. It's painted great. It's decorated. It is Instagram ready, right? We all have that neighbor, right? We're all sick of that neighbor, right? They're the ones that always get their trash can out on time and in on time. They've probably already cut their grass. Like, that's like the worst neighbor peer pressure right now. Like, who's going to cut their grass first? Who's going to rake their leaves? Who's going to tidy up? Who's going to mulch? Then everybody else has to mulch. Like, that neighbor, right? And then the other is just simple. Probably has a little bit longer grass. Probably doesn't have the landscaping, but the house is solid. And the storm hits. See, we don't discover how strong a house is on sunny days. You discover when the wind blows. And friendship works the same way. I know Mandy's always trying to have like pillows and outdoor plants, and then the storm hits. And you know where those are? Because I don't. Like, they're all over the neighborhood. I'll be driving around, oh, there's a pillow. I didn't like that one anyways. I'll just pass it, right? There's the little round bush. It always, that one blows out of the thing every day. I feel like I think the squirrels get it out and play with it in the yard. It is crazy, but friendship works that same way. Anybody can stand next to you when it's convenient, but adversity really helps reveal who's anchored. Proverbs says that a friend loves at all time, not just when it's fun, not just when it benefits them, at all times. And real friendships, though, are rare today. They're very rare today, not because, and I don't think it's because people don't want them. It's because we get distracted. We get busy. We're scrolling. And I think we have the illusion of connection, right? We think we're connected because we know about each other's lives, right? We know, okay, they had one of those Denver omelets. Oh, that looks so good. How they put cheese on it. And then, oh, they're a hash browns person. Oh, look, they had their coffee, right? Like we know people's habits by what they post, and we feel like we know them. But isn't that totally different than how we used to know what somebody ate for breakfast? We invited them out, we got together. We sat down, right? We used to sit down with somebody to have to know what they ate, what they liked, what they disliked. They're looking through the menu. You're looking. You're like, oh, what are you trying? Oh, what are you gonna get? Oh, and you get some people that walk into a restaurant. Oh, I know exactly what I'm getting. Right? They automatically know it, and that tells you a little bit about them. It also tells you a little bit how patient they are, right? Oh, I need my coffee. Oh, I need my coffee. Right? Or if they're just a camel and they just drink a lot, right? You can learn a lot about a person by just sitting down and having a meal. You can learn about how healthy a person is and based on what they order, right? You used to have to wait on the waiter or the waitress to come and to take that order. You used to have a conversation with each other before and then after, when they take so long to cook the food and to make the food. You get to know one another. There's both small talk and then there's deeper talk. You get to know one another. You see and hear about that boss. You hear about those jerks at work. You hear about the wife. You hear about the kids. You would catch up about each other's lives, their hobbies, their struggles, and now it's all just a click of a thumbs up, or a click of a heart button, or a click of a care. And we think that there's connection because we know what they ate. We know about their story without ever actually having to enter into the story. We know that they did 4 miles on a bike, but we weren't next to them. It's a whole different world. And we have people starving for authenticity, starving for connection, and we're replacing it. Fact is, we don't need more comments. We need real conversations. We don't need more followers. We need faithful friends. So what am I asking of us? Well, I always go back to the reap what we sow. What happens when we're the friend that chooses to build others up, to speak life into one another, to defend them when they're not in the room, to tell them the truth in love, to show up when it's hard, when it's inconvenient, when it is busy, we're willing to say, you know what, I'm going to make room for you. I'm going to make room to sit down to have that meal. I'm going to invite you over. We're going to sit on the porch. We're going to grill these burgers together. We're going to celebrate each other's wins without competition. We're going to pray for each other consistently. We're going to not just consume the friendship, but we're going to contribute to it. Ties in a little bit to what we were talking about with revival. It just doesn't happen in services. It happens in relationships. And the healthy church is built on healthy relationships. And so, if you were to pull out that device, or pull out a Connect card, or pull out an offering card, could you write down? I would challenge you to do so. Pull out that pen and write down those 5 closest friends. Do you know those names? Can you actually put them down? The 5 people you talk to the most. The 5 that influence you the most. And then, what if out of that list is, are they helping me follow Jesus? Are they actually pushing me towards growth? And maybe the harder question is if they were asked about me, would they say that I make them a better person? Would they say I build them up? Would they say I build them up, or would they say I drain them, right? Would they say that I challenge them, or would they say that I'm one that helps enable them? Would they say I'm one that encourages them or criticizes them? Because the friend that you choose to be determines the friend that you'll attract. So what about that list of five? Have you been able to make it yet? Have you been able to write down who those friends are? Is it time to encourage them? Is it time to challenge them? Is it time to build them up? Not just a vague, thinking of you today. But what if we get specific about them? Tell them what we admire of them. What if we ask them, can we pray with them? What if we said, how can I support you during this time? And if you're looking down at that paper and you realize that that circle isn't that healthy, maybe it's time to start becoming the kind of person who attracts healthier ones. Because you can't expect wise friends if you're not becoming wise yourself. So some of us, as we look at that paper, it's reevaluating that circle. Some of us, if there's names on there, it's time to apologize to a friend that we've been distant from. Or to step deeper in connection instead of staying surface level. It's time to invite them over for a meal. Time to realize that this needs to go deeper. Because the reason we struggle with friendship is because oftentimes we've never experienced an ultimate friend. See, Jesus said in John 15:13, he said, greater love has no one than to lay down one's life for his friends. That's what Jesus did. He didn't just show up in celebration. He showed up in adversity. He showed up on the cross. And today, if you're one that's never placed your trust in him, then maybe that moment starts today. That true friendship starts to be anchored in him and him alone. Today we, just like at the first Sunday of every month, we receive communion. Because there is one that laid it all down for us. But before we take it, we're going to distribute the elements, sing a song, and then at the end of that song, we'll take the elements. But this moment isn't just for new believers. It's for all of us. As we talk about salvation, before we close off today, there's those that are in here, those that are online, those that are joining us from Israel today that need salvation. Those that need to surrender again. Some of you don't need to meet Jesus for the first time. You need to let him be your pastor again. Let him be your shepherd. Let him be the one that lays you down in green pastures. Because I totally believe it's possible to be saved, but also still be self-led. It's possible to believe in Jesus, but still live independent of him. It's possible even to take communion and keep parts of our hearts off limits to him. No, I'm still bitter against that ex. Then maybe don't take communion today. But today the Holy Spirit is pressing and saying, it's time to live a different way. It's time to no longer be living like a slave. Whether it's to sin, whether it's to pride, whether it's to our image, whether it's to our control, whether it's fear of actually letting people know what's going on in our business. See, some of us have been in church for years. You know the verses. As soon as I said the word slave, you were like, oh, I bet you I know what song they're going to play. And you probably do. You know when to stand, you know when to sit. But if you're honest, Maybe you haven't fully surrendered in a while. You've been informed, but you haven't been transformed. You've been attending, but yielding, yielding to the Spirit, yield to growing in relationship with others. It's something, oh, I come in, do my stuff. Okay, there's my seat. He moved it again. I finally found it. Here we go. I can sit in that. I can find the comfort of it. And as soon as they dim those lights, I'm out of here. But Jesus isn't after your attendance today. Sorry, he wasn't handing out gold stars at the door. He's after all of our hearts. And so I want to give an invitation. Let's bow our heads. As we gather here today, as we've talked about friendship, as we've talked about not only surrounding ourselves with a circle of the right friends, but also being that right friend. The invitation that I want to give here is that if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, if you've never became a friend of God, today's your moment. But if you're a Christian and you've been distant, you've been guarded, you've been prideful, you've been kind of self-directed, today's that moment too for you. I don't say that because this is a time for embarrassment. But the song that we're about to sing is a song about freedom. And so why not return to Jesus? Surrender your life. Surrender your pride. Surrender your image, surrender your control, surrender that fear, sometimes fear of friendship, that fear of being known, so that you don't have to be a slave to it any longer. Today, luckily we do the prayer for everybody, and we ask that everybody says it. So maybe this is your prayer for salvation, or it's your prayer for surrender. But would you repeat this prayer after me as we turn to Jesus today? Pray, dear Jesus, I don't want to live independent from you. Forgive me from trying to lead my own life. Forgive me for keeping parts of my heart closed. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. I believe you call me friend. And today I surrender. Not just my sin, but my pride, my fear, my control, my image. I ask you to be my Savior, to be my Lord, and to be my shepherd again. Anchor me in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You got a friend in me.